Welcome to Texans Talk, a Texans Wire production, part of the USA Today Sports Network. I'm Mark Lane. Thanks for joining us. It's good to be back after being out so long. And why was that? Well, it's just the nature of things with podcasts. It's almost like trying to build a space program, and then you have to get the rocket off the ground, and then you got to get the module to break out of the atmosphere and into space. And sometimes it's a little difficult to even build the platform to shoot the rocket, but we've done it now, and we're going to have a new Texans Talk podcast for you every week on Fridays that will drop, and you'll be able to get it however you subscribe to this podcast. So thanks for being with us. We really appreciate it. And who really appreciates, who has really a great level of appreciation right now are coaching staffs across the NFL as they raid the Houston Texans coaching cupboard, picking out the offensive cans of corn. I like corn, so that was my bias to go there. But we see it with Sean Ryan now going to Detroit, and with the Green Bay Packers and San Francisco 49ers interviewing Wes Welker, a special teams and offensive assistant. And so now that's what we see, is the offensive coaching staff getting picked. You know, Sean Ryan going to Detroit, I think could, that one probably will have, that will have an identifiable impact on the Texans, I think. That's the one you're going to have to watch out for. Let me put it that way. I think that's the one to pay attention to, because Sean Ryan was instrumental in helping Deshaun Watson stay level during games, not get caught up in the highs, not get caught up in the lows, to stay level. You make a good play, great, let's move on. You have a negative play, well, that sucks, let's move on. And that was evident in 2018 when he started out the season throwing 7 interceptions through the first 6 games. But then, in the final 10, he only throws 2, with those 2 picks being thrown in the Washington game. So I think Ryan going to Detroit, it'll be interesting to see how that all plays out in terms of Deshaun Watson progressing in year 3. In terms of Matt Stafford, hey, he really gets a good one in Sean Ryan. It's interesting he's going as a lateral move, and he's not going to Detroit to be a part of Matt Patricia's staff to take on an offensive coordinator role. Instead, it's just simply quarterback's coach. But hey, he has to do what he has to do. Sean Ryan was kind of the cowbird in terms of, I said cowbird, by the way. He was the cowbird in terms of the regular, chicks in the, I'm messing up the analogy. I can't finish it with any degree of literacy, but anyway, cowbird is a bird that gets, just dropped into another bird's nest and then pushes out the other baby birds, and then and then the parents keep feeding the cowbird thinking it's one of their own. Anyway, that has nothing to do with Texans football, so I apologize for that. See, that's what's great about nonlinear listening these days, is you can scroll right past that and get right to the point. So anyway, Sean Ryan wasn't a guy that had Patriots ties that had him end up on the Houston Texans or some kind of Bill O'Brien ties. He was someone that his NFL, he was with the New York Giants. That's where he came from, with Tom Coughlin's staff, with the New York Giants back in the Super Bowl 42 days. That's where he came from. But the fact that Sean Ryan came over and he didn't have that, you know, one of those Patriot connections or anything like that, to me is a source of optimism, because it shows that, hey, Bill O'Brien and his staff, they can go out and get somebody that isn't, you know, that's heterogeneous to the philosophy. So you can just go ahead and get someone like that. You can just go out there and get someone that didn't come from the Bill Belichick coaching tree, and you can work with them and have success with them. So it'll be interesting to see if they do anything like that. I know fans were hopeful that Mike Devlin would be out as offensive line coach. Hey, you go from second worst in the NFL in terms of sacks allowed, to worst in terms of sacks allowed. Here's what's interesting about that. The team that was worst the year that the Texans were second worst, the Indianapolis Colts, they go from worst to first in sacks allowed. And so that's proof that a big turnaround can happen if you do get the right personnel, as well as, hey, maybe an offensive line coach. But Devlin's not going anywhere. He's part of Bill O'Brien's support system, along with Romeo Crennel and Tim Kelly. So those guys, who's tight ends coach, those guys aren't going to go anywhere. But in terms of quarterbacks coach, it'll be interesting to see who they bring in. Wes Welker, of course. Who wouldn't want Wes Welker? He has those New England Patriots ties. He's had a chance to prove himself to be a worthy coach with the Texans. So I think he's in another one of those situations where it's because of what Mike Vrabel did with Tennessee, to where people are thinking, hey, those ex-Patriots, they really, you know, maybe the coaches out of the Belichick tree don't know what they're doing, but the players might. So I think some of Mike Vrabel's success may have helped out Wes Welker in that regard. So, but then again, Wes Welker, he's Texas high school football too. So that means he automatically knows about coaching for the game. So that would be another reason why teams would be interested. So it'll be interesting. So we'll have to see what happens with Wes Welker. In terms of his impact, he was part of the influence that brought Kiki QT to Houston. But, you know, in terms of development and so forth, if he leaves, I don't feel like some players are just absolutely going to miss out and it's just going to be awful. And you can point to that time is why Kiki QT didn't develop and Vincent Smith had a downward spiral to his career. I don't think it's going to be anything like that, but just the fact that you see so late in January the Texans coaching staff getting picked apart, you know, it's interesting. It's interesting. That means they have to make moves now, doesn't it? That means they have to make moves, and it's still not too late to figure out if you're going to bring in an offensive coordinator. Of course, they won't do it, but it still leaves alive that hope that maybe the Texans will do something in that regard. By the way, I meant to open up this podcast, this episode, extending our condolences on behalf of Texans Wire to former general manager Rick Smith, whose wife Tiffany lost her battle with breast cancer on Thursday, and that's a very unfortunate situation, because that's why Rick took his leave of absence in January of 2018 was so that he could spend more time with Tiffany. And it's unfortunate that that she lost her battle. So on behalf of Texans Wire, we just want to extend our condolences to Rick Smith and his family. So, moving on, did you know that the Houston Texans have $18.8 million? I said million. It sounded like I said billion, but it's million. Did you know they have $18.8 million in carryover salary cap space from 2018? That's right. That's the fourth highest total in the NFL. The fourth highest. Who's number one? Number one's the Cleveland Browns. Number two, the Indianapolis Colts. Number three, Tennessee Titans. Number four, Houston Texans. That means that Houston, that general manager Brian Gain, did a great job of assembling talent without compromising the cap space. That also means that he's going to have enough gold, if you will, in the war chest to bring back Tyrann Mathieu to see if they can work out a long-term deal with Jadeveon Clowney, maybe not have to franchise tag him. That means that they can figure out what they're going to do with Kareem Jackson, although with Kareem Jackson, that's a whole other story. We can get into it now if you want. With Kareem Jackson, I think that he's going to be 31 years old in April. And that means that he'll be entering his 10th season. And hey, in terms of leadership, in terms of being around for all of the signature moments of the Houston Texans, what I mean by that is the playoff berths and everything, because to me, that's when the Texans got started. I know there were 9 seasons before that and memories along the way, but really, when I look at it, that's kind of when franchises really boom get started. Is when they can finally get into the postseason. Not necessarily make noise, but just qualify for it. Okay, so he's been around for all of that. He knows what it takes to get there. Problem is, I look at him, he's 31 years old, and maybe they need to get younger. You don't want to hang on to a guy. It's always better to let a guy go with a year to go, as opposed to hang on to a guy and then, you should have got rid of him because he really has nothing left to offer. It's always best to err on the side of letting someone go a year early. So that's where they are with Kareem Jackson. But the other issue is they need to use that cap space. They need to use the 23rd overall pick. Heck, maybe even their second round pick to address the offensive line. You don't want to necessarily get involved with trying to fix the cornerback and defensive back situation with premium picks like that. But by the same token, with that $18.8 million in cap space that's carried over, I believe the number is, I know they entered the season. No, but you got to figure in Chantrell Henderson because that impacts a little bit. But they still have the 9th most cap space in the NFL, even after the Chantrell Henderson move. So they're not in a bad situation cap-wise. They can get all of this stuff figured out. It's just how it's going to impact what they want to do throughout the rest, throughout the beginning of the 2020s. Because you have the Deshaun Watson contract that you have to look out for. Even though you can flip the switch and pick up the option on him and buy yourself a little time, it's just still that's something that they have to be careful of when it comes into working these contracts. So that's why I say even with the cap space, even with what's going, you know, even with the cap space, even with the attention they have to focus on the offensive line, I think they have to use one of those top three draft picks. Okay. When I mean top three, I actually mean second round or third round. Number one's got to go to offensive line. But anyway, they need to use that for a Kareem Jackson replacement, because I think if they hang on to Kareem Jackson too long, they could get burned. But they, then again, they had great results with the rejuvenation of Jonathan Joseph this year. But then you see Luke Richeson, who was the director of, I think it was sports nutrition or something to that effect. Director of sports performance. Now he's gone after 1 year. And he was someone that Bill O'Brien and everybody was crediting with the old guys feeling a little younger, you know? So now so the fact of the matter is it's a young man's game, and they really have to evaluate if Kareem Jackson, even though he had a near Pro Bowl season, they have to evaluate whether or not it's time to move on from him. And I think that they should err on the side of he has one good year left, as opposed to erring on the side of he has 3 good years left, because then you could really get burned in that kind of situation. So, offensive line. It's an area that the Texans need to address. They did a little bit by signing Chantrell Henderson to a 1 year extension. It was really a 1 year deal. So now he's back on a 1 year deal for Houston. So they have Julian Davenport and a third-round pick from last year in Martinez Rankin. So those are the three tackles. Kendall Lamb is a free agent. So they have to figure out what. So if they take somebody, who's going to be the odd man out in that situation? I know that Henderson has good work ethic, and he was somebody that was actually pushing J.J. Watt during training camp last year, and they really liked how well he played. Mike Devlin thought a lot about him, which is why he was a starter at right tackle in week one. So he can make some contributions, but in terms of building an offensive line that can protect Deshaun Watson as we embark upon a new decade, I don't know if he's your guy. And that's why they just have to. They just have to use the first-round pick on an offensive lineman. Now, the conventional thinking is that they have to use it on a tackle. And a great piece of work that you can check out on the Texans wire right now is a piece from an aggregation piece saying that CBS Sports has the Texans taking Washington State tackle Andre Dillard in the latest mock draft. That's a good one. However, that's the conventional thinking. What about if they just use first-round pick on the best offensive lineman available? And that's where Anthony Wood's piece, 2 OGs the Texans should roll with in the first round, makes a lot of sense. They should take a look at the whole offensive line. Maybe center, you don't upgrade it so much, because Nick Martin's doing a good job. Unless they feel like Nick Martin could do a better job at one of the guard spots, then you upgrade at center. But that's it. Is Houston has to evaluate that offensive line overall, because Deshaun Watson took 62 sacks. It's unbelievable. And then Lamar Miller. No, here's what's unbelievable, is that when I would go back for my Texans 100 facts and figures and I was looking up the Texans single-season sack record, there was another guy that got sacked more than 62 times in David Carr in that 0-2 season. My gosh. These guys, they take over 100 hits a year. And no wonder that David Carr got rocked the way he did and just never really materialized. But anyway, it's another story. But hey, Deshaun Watson taking over 100 hits, because when you look at 62 sacks, just add about, just take that, multiply it by 1.5 and to kind of represent how many, you know, because you have the quarterback hits as well, and with the overall pressures. And it's really more like he took 150 hits the whole year. Okay? So, you just take a look at it and you think, my gosh, they got to do a better job protecting him. But it wasn't just the protection. You could say, well, Deshaun Watson, according to Next Gen Stats, consistently had over 3 seconds to throw per play. It was him, Dak Prescott, Josh Allen of the Bills that were always in the top three the whole season with more than 3 seconds to throw. So he can't he's got to throw it away sooner, and he's got to pull the trigger sooner. He's always looking for the bigger play. He's part of the problem. Okay. Why then did the run game disappear in the final four games of the season, starting with that Indianapolis game, the rematch in week 14? Why? That's enough. That to me, you add that, you add the sacks, it's the offensive line. They're the problem. They're the ones that have got to find the answers. And if they don't have the answers, which they don't, then they need more personnel. They need an upgrade in personnel. So how do you do it? You do it with a first-round pick. I think you do it in free agency, too. You take a look at some of the guys that are up for that are set to hit free agency, and you see what you can do with them. Now, I don't think Houston should go make any trades or anything like that. Just for the fact that, hey, this is the first time since the Deshaun Watson draft they actually have a first-round pick. Go ahead and make use of it. Not just a first-round, but a second-round pick, too. Go ahead and make use of it. Don't no more of the trades. And they lost a fourth and a seventh, so what, for Demaryius Thomas. No more with the trades. So that's what they should do to fix the offensive line. That's another interesting scenario of what they have to do. The receiving core. You know DeAndre Hopkins is going to be there. You know he's consistently going to help out. What about Will Fuller? Is he going to be back from that ACL injury? And then you have Demaryius Thomas with the Achilles injury. Gets those 30-year-old guys. Those Achilles injuries, it really does. Is he going to be back? Is that what it's going to be at the first 5 weeks of the season? Is what it was the last 5 weeks of the season? With Vincent Smith having to save the day, and with Kiki QT questionable the whole time with a hamstring injury? Do you think they need receiver help? Do they? Could they use someone? Could they use someone like Deebo Samuel out of South Carolina? Could they use a Gamecock to pair with a Clemson Tiger if they could get someone like that in the third round? Could they? Should they make that a priority over cornerback? Well, they should in terms of best player available, they should. But in terms of the need, well, of course not. But I think that receiver is maybe more of a concern than we realize at this point. Only because of the situation with Will Fuller, with him coming back from the ACL injury. In terms of Demaryius Thomas, I don't think that he was a fill-in to begin with. In terms of what he can do for the offense long-term, I think it's admirable he wants to stay. If they can find a place for him, great. He wants to come back. He wants to make a go of it again. Give him a shot. But in terms of counting on him, I don't think you can. So, can you count on Will Fuller? Can Will Fuller be the guy? Can Will Fuller, in his fourth season, can he finally deliver, stay healthy, play, we'll say 11 games, with the best quarterback he's ever had in his pro career? Well, if he can, he's going to earn himself a contract because he's entering the final year of his rookie deal. So, yeah, that's the thing. They've got a lot of decisions to make this offseason, but it's still the 2018 season. 2019 NFL season doesn't officially kick off until 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. Central, on March the 14th. Because that's when free agency opens. And when it does, then it's a new league year. But until then, the champion of the 2018 season has to be decided, and that's coming up with Super Bowl 53 in Atlanta, Georgia, between the New England Patriots and Los Angeles Rams. Deshaun Watson, he's been going back and forth, but he said on The Rich Eisen Show, he just can't go against Tom Brady and the Patriots, so he's taking Brady. Who are you taking? Well, let me know about it on Twitter, at TheRealMarkLane, and follow us on Twitter, at TheTexansWire, and we will see you on the internet. And always read us, TexansWire.com, for great Houston Texans content. This is Mark Lane. You've been listening to Texans Talk. We'll see you next Friday.